I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, praise the Lord. As always, it's a blessing. It's an honor to be with each and every one of you. You're my peeps, and you are my team of evangelists. And, you know, when I look and see how many of you have hit your share buttons on Tuesdays, as well as today, I am in awe and thanksgiving for all that God has done in and through you, taking that call, taking that mantle of an evangelist and doing just that, sending forth the gospel, sending forth the programming here. And it is amazing when I get comments back from different people that have sent these by hitting, you know, send and sending it forth to other people. You're doing a mighty work. And I don't think you have any idea how important that work is. We are coming upon some very strong wake-up calls. We are coming upon a time that what has been shared and told us, to each of us in the scriptures, in the beautiful lives of the saints, and the beautiful, messages of a true prophetic word. It was all, you know, the greatest prophets of today's time. And you have to be careful, you know, about prophets, who is a true prophet, because people count on that word, and people will be held accountable for being a false prophet and leading others astray. But all that being said, all this from the greatest prophets to now has always been revealed in the scriptures. It's nothing new. The scriptures told us what would come about, what would happen, that good and evil would clash. Light and darkness will clash like nothing we've ever seen before. We know the church will be persecuted. Again, this was all prophesied in the scriptures. It was telling us to be prepared. And you know, I can't help but when I think of that, teaching us to be prepared, we have to remember that, I don't know, that's the best way to say it, that we have been trained up, you and all those listening, all those that are watching today on live stream, myself, all those in the studio today, We've been trained up in the kingdom of God. And we have to take that seriously. That's the mantle that's upon every Christian by virtue of their baptism. And the Lord tells us not to be afraid. I believe that verse is so powerful that I put St. John Paul II opening remarks when he says, "Be not afraid, the Holy Spirit is with you." We have to remember that. We have to remember that whatever is coming down, the Lord knew it before any of the prophets knew it. And he inspired through the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit when they wrote the scriptures that came from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all the books, you know, the scriptures. He wanted us to be prepared. He wanted us to know these things. But he also told us to beware that when you see these things happening, be ready. Be prepared. And so I think one of the ways we help in that is to take our calling seriously as disciples, which means students. We are students of the living God, of the triune God, and to remember that we are his hands, his feet, and his mystical body in this world. And we're it. This is what he's working through. Each of us, a motley crew just as much as the first apostles were, the first disciples. He worked through a motley crew. But he gave them all that they needed to accomplish the work and the tasks that he called each of them to do, to carry out the word to the ends of the earth, to proclaim the gospel. And so for each of us, we had to remember that the Lord told us from the beginning that the church would become and would be persecuted. Our Lady has told us time and time and time again through all our apparitions. And we know that in these last, 20-some years, maybe 40 years, the apparitions of Our Lady, where Jesus was sending his mother more often now because the time is urgent, the message is more urgent. And people say to me all the time, I can't get in to Medjugorje. I can't get into these apparitions. The same old message. She just keeps giving the same old message. Well, guess what? That is the message from all time. To be prepared, to prepare our hearts, to have our hearts and minds and understanding open to know the Word of God, to know him in the breaking of the bread as he feeds us with his precious body and his blood. He wants us to be prepared, and he sends his mother often and with a message that sounds like it's repetitive because it is. He's a simple God. He won't want his kids confused. He's all wisdom, all knowledge, all power, all love, all mercy. And so he wants us to hear his word, and he wants to lead us and guide us through the scriptures, through Mother Church, through the beautiful traditions that come down for the teaching magisterium of the church, and to take into account the messages that his mother he sends to bring to all of us. Didn't he say it? Didn't he say when he was on the cross, "Behold your mother. Behold your mother. Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." It wasn't a name. It was because she was going to be the mother of all, spiritual mother that Jesus Christ was given to us, to be our spiritual mother. And so it's important, and I get this more and more day in and day out in my own prayer life, when I'm in prayer, when I'm at Mass. We are called, really called, to realize the weapon we hold in our hand with the rosary. Even that's repetitive, but it's centered only on Jesus Christ at all those times in his life that we're called to be mindful of. All those beads, right? All the mysteries are all about Jesus, and we're lifting that beautiful prayer of the Hail Mary. And the scripture on the rosary it lines up. But at any rate, I just wanted to say this. She gives the same message over and over again, so we will not get confused, so we will not get lost, so we will not be listening to all these other voices, but we will be open to the instructions to be faithful, obedient to the Word of God, and remember to the teaching magisterium of the Church, because before the printing press, the scriptures, before they were put into documents and put into on paper, the apostles went out and they told their stories, and the Holy Spirit came upon all those, and the Holy Spirit brought those stories together, the scriptures together, the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, so that we would know the way. And he would lead us. He is the way. We would know the truth because his word is truth. It's spirit and life. And his life. The Holy Spirit is the giver of life. And so for all of us, we need to remember that sometimes less is more. Meaning, why would our Blessed Mother come with a million different messages? She comes with the one true message. Her Son has given her the grace to come. He has sent her for a time as such as this, as they say. And in all these same apparitions, wherever they are, all over the world, her message, all those that have been affirmed by the Church, all those who have truly been affirmed and confirmed as true apparitions, all of her messages are simply that she will lead us all to the pure side of her Son, and that through the rosary, we can come against this evil stronger than any other way. That's a weapon. And on the other hand, the Holy Scriptures, that's the most powerful gift we have. And so with the Scriptures, with the teaching magisterium of the Church, we're called to pray and to seek God's word and be obedient to it. Why? So we will not be caught off guard. It says even the most elite can be fooled. Even the most elite can be fooled. So we have to use wisdom and discernment and knowledge. And so Our Lady comes time and time again. Is there a message? Yes, pray for peace. She knows what's ahead. She knows what her Son said in the scriptures. And so she tells us, pray for peace. Pray the rosary. She tells us in the end, her immaculate heart will triumph. We know the beautiful vision of the boat. Mary on one side, Holy Father on the other side, and Jesus as the very center in the Eucharist, and this will guide us through. Our Lady, Jesus Christ truly present in the Eucharist. These are so powerful. Holy Father, he will right the ship. And so we have to remember that even in the midst of these horrific storms, that her heart will triumph in the end. And when her heart triumphs, she will. Just like she brought Jesus into the world, that was her role, and in the fullness of time, as I said, she brought Jesus, gave her yes, and brought Jesus into the world in his humanity. But truly God, truly man, his, that hyperstatic union. And now she's called to bring all of us into heaven. God has sent us, her, to guide us, to messages, to stay focused, to be prepared, not to be deceived. Listen to his word with all the voices in the world today. His word is true. And so we have to remember that we've been trained up for the kingdom. Just as in the days of the Old Testament, you know, many were raised up. Ezra was raised up to be a proclaimer of the word of God because he said that his heart and mind and spirit were seeking God and his truth. And that's how it is with us. In, you know, the bringing together of the New Testament and the Old Testament today in the gospel, I mean, that's what it's about. It's about remembering that God came into the world and he's coming back again. We don't know, no matter what anybody says, we don't know the exact hour or the day. Jesus said he did not even know, only his Father in heaven. So I can't believe that people are always given this day. Many of them have died already. The bottom line is we can't be afraid. It's just, we've been told these things are going to take place. And when they take place, we should be filled with zeal to proclaim the gospel in good times and not so good times, when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient, so that we can continue to reach out to everybody in our lives, trying to draw them into the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, trying to bring Jesus' light into the darkness, trying to go to everyone, regardless of who they are, not to ever be ashamed of the gospel, not to be lukewarm about it. Jesus told us very clearly he will spit out the lukewarm. He'll spit them right out of his mouth. It's not a time to be lukewarm. These are the days. These are the times. These are the days of Elijah. These are the days that we're called to be prepared for. When we see these things starting to happen, the church being persecuted more and more, when we see these evils that will take place in the world, when we see people even messing with the mass, trying to change this or change that, we have to really entrust ourselves completely into the hands of God. We have to seek his wisdom, his knowledge, his discernment. We have to rely on his love and his mercy to take the message to everybody, not just to those we think will say, oh, I believe this, I'm going to follow this. Even to those who do not believe, especially, bring it to them. Because with you bringing it, you're just called to give the word. You and I, that's our role. God will water it. He'll bring sun and everything that's needed for that faith to grow. And he wants us to go out to all kinds of people, not just Christians or not just the people that we think are good, but to all people. He came to save the lost. And he gives us, by a virtue of our baptism, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to lack nothing, and especially in these days, in these times, to be ready to go out. And with the mission of the church is to bring Jesus, bring his light into the world, bring his word into the world that will bring truth where there's light. So the world is full of lies, and constantly we hear these lies over and over and over and over again. And many lies come in the form of deceit. If we knew something was a lie, we wouldn't listen to it, right? But Jesus tells us in the scriptures that even the most elite can be fooled. So we have to adhere, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God and the teaching magisterium of the church, which teaches the Word of God, it's not from Him. So He does tell us how we can beware, how we need to get busy, if you will. We are called. Too many of our young people are being lost. Our young adults, our young teenagers, all kinds of people. The elderly, the middle age. This is our time, the time of the laity, to rise up and take their baptismal call and go out into the world and do what we are called to do, to set a fire in the hearts of those who do not know Him, who haven't experienced Him yet, and tell what He has done in our lives, not what they need to do, but what God has done in our lives. He has set us free. He's loved us into wholeness. He's healed our broken hearts. He's comforted our souls. He's taken away our anxieties and our fears. He's given us hope when we didn't think there was hope. This is what He does in all of our lives, and people are hungry to hear that truth. So anyway, I better get on with the gospel. It is Thursday, so let us... I just opened up the gospel, and let me read it today. Father Roche, my sidekick, will not be with us today. He's on his way back from his mission work with the church. Okay, let me get in here. Okay, this is from Matthew 13, verses 47. Through 53. Again, the kingdom of God is like a net which is thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, many drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into vessels, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. This is perfect for what I was just saying. The angels will come out and it will separate the evil from the righteous, and it will throw them into the furnace of fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. Have you understood all this? And they said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure. What is new and what is old? And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there. The Gospel of the Lord. This scripture today, talking about throwing out the nets, right? That's what I was talking about. That's what we're called to do. You know what a dragnet is. We hear it a lot of times in so much of the evil that's going on in the world today, and crime and so forth and so on. They would put a dragnet out, right, in a certain area, and then they would search out for these people. In the time of the Old Testament, and even Jesus' time, all of the, most of the people were fishermen. The disciples, most of the apostles, aside from Paul, most of them were fishermen. And so they understood the language that's used today in the gospel. Throw out your nets. In a different way, I tell you, I say it so many times on Tuesday and Thursday when I get a chance. Don't send these things out to the people you think it'll be, that'll be good for them to read. Send them indiscriminately. God's after all. He's sending out a dragnet. And what does a dragnet do? When you throw out the net, that net, and sometimes it was usually a hand net, many of them threw them out. They were huge. And as the boats continued to, you know, come in or go out or whichever direction they were going, they would be full. The dragnets would pull in all the fish of many different sizes, many different forms. And yet, it, you know, like you would think, because they were being thrown out, it was pulling everything along with it. That's why they were so hard, and men had hard time. They were so heavy pulling them in. It was because not only did it pull those fish in of all different sizes, all different variations of fish, it also pulled in a lot of junk, right? That fish came and it pulled everything around that the fish were being caught in. It caught all the junk. I don't know if any of you, fish, but there's all that jetsam that's out there, all that slime, dirt, junk that's in the ocean. Not only caught the fish, it caught all of that too. And that was the bad stuff, right? And the good stuff was all the fish. It would feed the people. So this is how they made their livelihood. So the Lord today in the gospel, he uses this this thing of throwing out the net as they move forward in the waters, that they would catch great stuff, but also a lot of filth, a lot of junk, a lot of jetsam, you know, slimy stuff that was in the ocean too. And so the Lord wants us to be aware. We have to be indiscriminate when we throw our own nets out. Oh, I'm going to tell Mark tonight at the party we're going to. I'm going to tell him about what God has done in my life. He's searching. He's hungry. We're called to send that word out to everybody, indiscriminately. You know, just like they. Jesus instructed them to throw out the fish, throw out the nets, throw them out. And in the end, when he comes again, he's going to take all those people that we went to, the good and not so good, the bad, and he himself will send his angels to separate everything, the good and not so good. And only God will be the judge of all those souls, those who believed and tried to follow him to the best of their ability, those who loved him, even in their weakness and frailties, but loved him and tried to follow him, he's going to say they're righteous. He's got a special place for all who follow him, all who are righteous. But then he's also going to separate the sheep from the goats, if you will. And he alone knows the heart of every person. He alone knows. And each of us are going to be held to account of our life, our decisions. And only he can see at that moment when he calls all of us together on that final judgment, he alone will present things. And he alone knows the truth and the heart of every man, woman, or child. He alone will judge. So we can't judge people that we think they're not going to become a Christian. They're never going to be part of a faith-filled community. You don't know that. Some of the greatest preachers, teachers, priests in the world started out as sinners and became saints. We have a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back again, and you are listening to Kathleen McCarthy. I'm blessed to be with you, although I know we miss Father, but he's about his first mission is with the SMAs, and he's on his way back today for something he had to do. So we miss him, but we know he's one in the spirit with us always. I'm just going to say a couple of these. I don't have as much time as I usually do on Tuesdays. But Renee Spinelli, so happy to be with you today. Blessings. Doris Kelly, you got my attention. Susan, I am listening. Always in my prayers, Kathleen. God bless you all, says Hannah. Hey, Hannah, good to have you on. Mary Ann, Time Up Parks, it may be repetitive, but truth is truth. A mother does not mislead us. And a mother never will try to will never intentionally mislead her children. I agree. St. Pio, his greatest weapon, he always said, was the rosary. Renee says, go to confession and stay in the state of grace. I pray for another person. I pray for my children, grandchildren, etc., Godchildren every day to return to the one true church. Donna Maranowski sent a heart. Renee sent another message. I can't. Okay, it's 4:33. I'll read as much as I can the next group shortly. But bottom line, I don't know what's wrong with this. I can't. Bottom line is this is a powerful gospel. I want you to think of something, too. It's not in this gospel, but very much along what I was saying before I opened the gospel and before I went into it, when we're told to throw out our nets, just as the apostles were. Throw the nets out. Go deep. Throw those deep nets out deep. And trust God that whatever you pull in, he's going to be Lord over. You know, that's what we have to remember, that he came to die for each and every one of us. Not some of us, every one of us. And so we have to trust that he knows every heart. He knows every mind. He alone, and I'll say this again, the scripture said that he alone reads every heart. People can get a glimpse into hearts. I know that for a fact. We can glimpse into another heart, but only God can read the hearts and the intentions of every one of us and every person ever created. So I want you to think along this line as well. There's another part of the scriptures, and it's not this one, but telling the same kind of story. And Jesus came along the fisher. They were fishing. They were hard at it all night. And it was early morning. They were coming back. And Jesus said, children, You know, what are you doing? He says, oh, we've been fishing all night. How was your catch? We caught nothing. He said, cast your net on the other side. Now, I would think if I was alive in that day and that time, and I was out there fishing all night long through the dark, through the weather, all night long, and then I'm coming in finally to rest. I'm disappointed, like nobody's business, because I have nothing to show for the work that I accomplished. And then I hear, you know, now the closest shore, throw out your net on the other side. I would say what they said. Lord, we've been fishing all night. We've caught nothing. Throw your net on the other side. And sometimes we have to remember that. Maybe as we're fishing for men and women to come and know and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit that's working in us, allowing us to go out, inviting us to go out, challenging us to go out. Maybe if it's not working, maybe we have to try a different method. Maybe we have to throw that net on the other side. Try something different. If it isn't working and you don't feel like the fruit isn't there, then maybe try a different way. Ask the Lord, how can I reach my children? How can I they're not paying me no mind. Or how can I reach my mate? Or how can I reach my siblings? How can I reach my family, my mother, my father, my grandparents? They don't even, so many don't talk to each other because they're on the other sides of the fence. And Jesus will speak in the silence of your heart. And he'll say, just like he said to the apostles, all the fishermen, when he say to them, just try it. Calm down, he says to them. I'm telling you. And they weren't even listening, but just try it. Throw your net on the other side. Do it a different way. If that's not working, try this. And they did. And they said the men, it took so many men to pull that haul in because so many fish were caught. Same with us. Ask the Lord, should I be not as vocal? Can they see me preach the gospel by how I live? How shall I go through the waters, Lord? How can I immerse myself into the living water and then sprinkle everybody I meet with your love and your mercy, your peace, your grace, and the truth. The truth. We're called to share the truth. Even if nobody, you know, if everybody believes a lie, that doesn't make it truth, does it? So if everybody you're trying to bring the gospel to by living it, first and foremost, by having the character of Jesus, being loving and kind and merciful, but firm, and stand in firmness and immovable when it comes to the truth, that you'd be willing to lay down your life for it. Just keep moving forward in the truth. When you cast out that way, the nets will be full. The nets will be full. Broaden our vision. Don't stay doing things the same way we always do with certain people, because if it's not working, throw your net over the other side and get a great haul. We have to remember who we are. We have to remember that if the Lord's sending us out, He wants us to catch a multitude. If He's anointing us and healing us and setting us free to be these evangelists that He wants to use to draw in people from every walk of life, every color, every race, every religion, just go tell the truth, then he will equip us for, he says, matter of fact, he says, I equipped you for every good work. It's like bringing the Old Testament and New Testament together. The New Testament fulfills the old one. It doesn't wash it away. Just like Ezra, who prepared his heart to be loving and obedient to God's word. That's what happens when we're loving and obedient and open to God's word. It brings fulfillment. It brings fruit. And so I just wanted to, I want you to see that if you're getting frustrated because, you know, it doesn't, your prayers or doesn't seem to be working or whatever, God, he hears all of our prayers. He sees every mother and father's heart broken when those that they love don't adhere to the truth. So he's going to continue to exert us to go on, not to give up. He's going to tell us that he is the way, the truth, and life, and that all things are possible with him. He tells us over and over and over again that nothing is impossible with God. So who are we going to believe? The kid that we're telling the truth to, or your father-in-law, or your mother, or your grandparents, or your siblings, and they say, I don't buy it. I don't believe it. Are you going to believe that and stop and give up? Or are you going to trust in God's word that tells us nothing, nothing is impossible with me? I am the God of the impossible. Whose voice are we listening to? One will lead us to pain and suffering and anxiety and fear and doubt. It's when the enemy puts those thoughts in your mind. Your kids aren't going to be saved. Look at you. They don't even listen to you. They don't believe it. They're living a lifestyle that's counter to leading them into the kingdom of God. Remember what I said in the beginning of this program a little while ago. Some of the greatest saints in the church were some of the biggest sinners till they heard and believed and had that conversion of that metanoia to turn away from everything that was wrong, everything that was dark, all the things that were evil, all the different lifestyles. Man can't make those things happen. Not the greatest teacher, preacher. Only God. Only God can transform hearts. And it happens through the renewal of our minds. And so God puts that anointing on that person. He opens the ears and the hearts of the person that he knows, the very person that's meant to touch them, will open their ears and their eyes through the working of the Holy Spirit. And he will bring that person to them. We have to trust in the end result. We have to trust that God loves us. And if we love our children, grandchildren, godchildren, mates, parents, siblings, how much more? How much more do you think God loves them? He doesn't want them lost either. He paid the price for their souls. Every soul. And you know, I don't remember it word for word, and I don't have the time to even do that. But there is an old prayer. I saw it just come up again on one of the Facebook things. But I remember it when I was a young mother. I think I only had two or three kids at the time. And I remember reading this prayer, sort of a prayer poem. And it was about this person that entered into, went home to the Lord, and the Lord took her to each place. And, you know, she wasn't entering into any of those places. And where did she finally saw, well, there's nobody there that I, you know, these people are here, those people are here. And the Lord, in this poem, the message was, when they saw her, they were shocked that she was there. They said about her many times, oh, she's not going to get in. And she looked at all these people, and she couldn't believe they were in. See, we can't judge. We just are called to love, and out of that love, be willing to lay down our lives to preach and teach the gospel by our lives, by our words. And I pray that one day that old adage will come by that I hope in the days ahead and in hard, difficult times, I pray to God, if hard times came and, you know, we had to do all different kinds of penance, or, you know, we had to even lay down our lives and or do a white martyrdom for the kingdom, I pray with all my heart and soul that there would be enough evidence to convict me that I was a Christian, that I was a devout Catholic. I pray that there would be enough evidence that people would know that I was devout Catholic, even under trying circumstances, even under unanswered prayers, even under trials and tribulations, even under sickness and even death, that I continued to move forward with the gospel. And I pray that for my children. I'm the mother of 7 sons and 5 daughters, and it isn't lost on me today, a beautiful feast day. And my spiritual son, Micah, reminded me of it today, although I did know that it was a beautiful feast day. But the mother who had 7 sons, and she stood by them, and she continued to support them, to stand firm, not to give in, not to get up, no matter what the cost, even if it cost them their life. I'm related to that all my life because I have 7 sons. And I hope I would have that kind of grace and commitment and courage, that if my children were in that position, that I would have the grace of God to encourage them on, stand right by them. Do not give up. Do not give in to fear. This life will be over. We have eternal life. I hope and pray to God that one day I would be able to do that. This is an amazing woman. An amazing woman who encouraged her sons to stand for the truth, come what may. But the good news is, certainly there is good news. The good news is that we will all meet again. Right? We will all be together. And when we meet again, I always have this saying, and I've been saying it forever. When we lose someone we love, we will be together. And when we see them the next time, it will be forever. Forever. You'll see your mother, your fathers, your sisters, your brothers, your friends. Next time we see our loved ones who have gone before us, it will be forever. Never give up. Never give in. Got to call or hold on. And please feel free to call in. You know the number, 610-527-2906. Hi, Mario.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm good, praise God.
So I know it's towards the end of your show, and I'm going to hit you with a tough question.
Okay.
I heard you talking earlier about Medjugorje, and I want to really have faith that our Blessed Mother has been appearing there, but I know the scriptures say test the spirit.
Yep.
And I think in Isaiah, the Lord said, let us reason together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find it difficult. I want to believe that our Blessed Mother is giving these messages every month. And then I heard Pope Francis say he had his doubts when he was on a plane. He said, our Blessed Mother is not like a postmaster delivering a message at a certain time every week or every month. And I look back at our other Marian apparitions. I think in Fatima, she appeared five times. She missed the one apparition, I think, in August.
Yeah.
Or July. But she appeared five times. In Lourdes, I believe she appeared 18 times.
Yeah.
Over 40-some years, this is, I did my math, this is like 500 times, over 500 times, she's given a message on the same day. And God gives us an intellect.
Yes.
Made in the image and likeness of God. And my intellect says, why would our Blessed Mother say basically the same message, little twisted each month, little different nuance, but it always seems to be the same. And I know many people who have gone to Medjugorje, good holy people, who have felt the Lord's presence and the Holy Spirit's presence and the Blessed Mother's presence. But I have that difficulty understanding why God would tell his mother to come to repeat the same message for 40-some years. I don't see it anywhere else in Scripture. I don't remember it ever happening in Scripture or in other Marian apparitions to have occurred over such the same length of time and the same month. So
what is your question? I'll tell you from my own what I feel. That's all I can tell you. I will not, I do not know if they are authentic messages for all these years. I don't know. What I do know, Mario, what I really do know without any belief, any unbelief, I know emphatically of all the fruit that comes forth there. And the Lord told us in the scriptures that you won't know me by my gifts. You'll know me by my fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And there's been so much fruit. And I'm not just talking about physical healing. I mean, all the gifts can be manifested, right? All the gifts can be manifested by the evil one except love and goodness and mercy, all godly things. So I don't know. Who am I? I don't know. But I do trust that when I'll look at myself as a parent, I've been telling my kid, my son's, just dropped something off to me. Michael is 63 years old, my firstborn son. And in 63 years, I have never changed. I have never watered it down. I've never put stuff on top of it trying to convince him. But in 63 years, I told him the same thing I've told every one of my children. My message has not changed an iota. A little nuance here and there, as you say, yes. But I can tell you in 63 years, I have never, ever told a different thing to my children except the truth. And that's the same message they're hearing loud and clear all these years. I do believe Our Lady was sent predominantly for these times. And again, her own children do the same thing that many children that we know and love do. They roll their eyes and they listen while they're there, and many don't even pay attention. That's up to them. But in these urgent times, and I believe this, Mario, wholeheartedly, unequivocally, I believe Our Lady, I'm not talking about me, I believe that she has come to guide us and lead us as a spiritual mother for those who maybe have walked away, those never really had an experience. I have read so many, church books that have been so approved by the church. I have read that have to do with Medjugorje. What I read in there, you know a truth when you hear one. They're true. Lives have been changed, taken out of darkness, brought into light. So much fruit has been come forth. Atheists who went there to discredit these apparitions had tremendous transformations. So The most elite can be fooled. I agree with that. And that's where we have to trust that we keep our eyes on Jesus. Does her message line up with the gospel? 100%, not 40% or 20%, not even 99%. Her message lines up with the gospel. And so for me, that's why she says the same thing over and over and over again for 40 some years. And again, I believe that all the messages from all the apparitions, no matter how short-lived they were or how long they went on, even those were the same message that we're getting today from Medjugorje, from Africa, from all over. Our Lord is trying to make it simple enough for his kids to get it. And it took, here we are 2,000 plus years. The gospel's the same. It doesn't change. It hasn't changed in almost 2,000 plus years. And it's the same message he gives to all his children, even those that totally disagree with the word of God, that totally turn their backs on it, those that say there is no God, that are their own gods. But those words for 2,000 plus years have not changed. The truth is the truth. And what we have is reason and faith. And out of our own reasoning, God gives us that gift to have the faith to believe or not to believe. And ultimately, the church teaches the truth. Mother Church, through the gospels, the teachings, scriptures, and from the teaching magisterium of the church. They might not come out as scripture, but they are 100% in line with the scripture. Every single message. And that's all I can say. I've never been to Medjugorje. I'm just telling you from my heart what I believe and what I have seen with my own eyes, my own ears, and believe with my own heart. I don't know if that helps you. It's probably not the message you were hoping for. But I love you with everything within me, and I love your family. So I can just speak from myself, okay?
Amen. I'll give you an A-plus for the answer.
Thank you, Mario.
It'd be a difficult question, but thank you so much, Kathy. You did shed a lot of light on it.
Thank you.
Saying that the message is the same, no matter, because it's the truth.
Exactly.
But thank you, and thank you for always keeping my family in prayer. God bless.
Thank you, Kathy. I love you, Mario. Bye-bye. Okay, do we have another caller? The line's lit up. Okay. Well, my brothers and sisters, we're pretty much at the end of the program. That was a tough question to be asked those things and then, just come out, speak from your heart. That's all we're called to give, speak the truth. So I hope that maybe helped other people that had the very same question. I have my own question. Like I said, I don't know all these years that they've been going on. You hope that it is. But I know that the message from Our Lady is the same because it's the truth and her son is the truth. So she's not going to change the message. Let's just, I'm going to have a quick, quick look at these. Okay, let's see. Tricia, my lovely Tricia. Amen and amen, exclamations. It's when we take our eyes off of Jesus that we begin to sink. Amen. Yes, so true. Thanks again. Thank you, Kathleen. Can't wait to see you this weekend. I hope to see all of you at Malvern for the healing retreat with myself, Father Blunt, and Father, my bestie, one of my besties, Father McKay. So again, I can only tell you, and I'll say it over and over again, I love you. I really mean it. And I would ask you to please hit your share button. Maybe there's a lot of people need to hear that message that Mario asked a perfectly great question. I'm glad he gave me an A+, but when you speak expertaneously, you just hope that it works, you know, that the truth comes from your heart and the people hear it. We're done. We ask you to stand by for the next program. Dr. Raimondo always has a good one. God bless you and know that God loves you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.